all. So I had sat around a few campfires. I was in Brownies for a couple years, but I didn't really know a lot about camping. And my dad likes to say his idea of camping out is to stay in a mismanaged Holiday Inn. So so I had a lot to learn. And we actually camped. Josh had this idea that we would camp one night on our honeymoon just to have the experience. But I was going to have a lot to learn. And then with backpacking, neither one of us had done anything like that. And when our youngest two kids were very small, this was back before we could hardly get a night away to ourselves when our kids were little. But we started reading books about backpacking. It was just something that we were both interested in, and we hoped at some point that he and I could start doing that, and eventually we could get the kids involved. Sorry, it's kind of dark up here. So over the years, backpacking and hiking and camping have kind of become our family's thing. And I think we enjoy it for different reasons. My husband's a science teacher, so he's the biologist, and he's very gifted at introducing kids to the natural world. So that's just something that he enjoys a lot. I'm not sure I would have been attracted to camping as much if it, you know, had just been up to me since I hadn't done it. But I really enjoy the idea of packing light, kind of being minimal and taking just what you need. I enjoy the goal setting when we're doing a trail, you know, planning our miles and planning the trails we want to complete. And I really love the quality time that it gives us because we're out in nature, we're away from all these other distractions. And so we've kind of come at it for different reasons. But over the years, that's become our thing. So today, my examples are going to be about camping and backpacking. But what I really want to talk to you guys about is just family togetherness and how to encourage you all and fostering togetherness in your family, whether it be for the summer or even for years in the future. Talking about what your family's thing is or what it might be. And maybe some obstacles to family togetherness. So I also feel like probably a lot of you are already very good at this, so I'm just hoping that this will be encouraging to you. We've just felt like this is something that we've had to keep developing as our kids get older. So my first topic on togetherness is to be unified, you and your husband together as you make plans. You know, asking yourself, what do you and your husband like doing together, or what might you like doing together? What did you do when you were dating? Because I feel like for us, when we started having kids, when we added a kid, when we added two kids, each of those phases, you know, your family kind of changes, and you may pull back on activities from time to time. And so we've just had to keep having these discussions on, you know, what do we want to do together as a family? What experiences do we want our kids to have? And that can look really different. You know, some families like to spend time on the lake. Some families like geocaching or working on cars together or planning a garden together. Just whatever it is, just being unified. Also, what strengths do you and your husband bring to the plan? So Josh loves to plan trips. He loves to plan hikes. He plans way more stuff than we're probably ever going to do. And that tends to be overwhelming to me because it can be all over the map on his ideas. So I may have an idea here or there, but I like to get involved when he's got it narrowed down to, you know, two or three things we might do. But I really like to get involved when it comes to the details of the trip. You know, how are we going to pull this off? Where can we get good deals on camping gear we need or something like that? I love the packing and preparation. So we've just worked on, you know, figuring out how to do this together. Let's see. And then you and your husband are going to set the plan and the tone. So a lot of times I think kids can pick up on whether or not you're unified. I know in my family growing up, we did a lot of activities together, but there were certainly times that I think my brother and I could tell that my parents weren't on the same page. Either one of them was not super engaged in what we were doing, or, you know, one of them had a lot of questions or uncertainty about this new thing we were trying, and kids kind of pick up on that. So we've done our best, you know, to hash out the plan, to ask all those questions, and then almost like when our kids were little, we used to say Team Granderson a lot, you know, that we were going to get out there together and try this new experience. So be in unity if you can on making your plans, whatever those are going to be. And we started small. Doing the slideshow was kind of fun because it gave us the chance to look back at some of our earlier memories. The first time we started day hiking with all four kids, our youngest were four, and we took all day to do a mile. And we took special snacks that they had never had, you know, or didn't have very often. We would play in the water. We looked for salamanders. They played hide and seek in the rock formations. And we still do a lot of those things, but we started out a lot smaller. And then our first camping trip as a family of six. I don't know if I'd recommend what we did, but we did not practice here in Arkansas. We didn't try it out in our backyard, which maybe we should have. We drove 13 hours to the Great Smoky Mountains, which is one of our favorite parks. But we took secondhand tents that, you know, had been given to us. We didn't know that they weren't waterproof. And it rains nearly every day in the Smokies. So fortunately, we had some tarps and we had some ways to kind of mitigate that a little bit. And then stuff got wet, so we tried doing a clothesline to dry stuff out. And we found out that if it's already wet and it's that humid, it's just going to get wetter. So we had some other misadventures, but we found out we really enjoyed it. And each, you know, as our kids have gotten older, you know, we've just sought to work together to, you know, to grow the plan as our kids have gotten bigger. So be in unity. Secondly, be intentional. If you're not intentional about planning family togetherness, life is just going to take over. And we used to be really different on this. Josh was very spontaneous. He used to say if it's more than 6 weeks away, he didn't want to talk about it. He just liked to say, hey, let's go do this. And I was the planner, so I had the calendar and, you know, kind of had days to fill in. And so this would get us in trouble sometimes where, you know, a weekend was coming up and say there was some activity up at school Friday night. And so I'd talk to Josh about it and say, you know, what do you think about this? And he'd say, sure, we can do that. So I'd write it down on my little calendar. And then there'd be some other opportunity on Saturday and we would talk about it. And he'd say, sure, that sounds great. So I'd write it down on my calendar. So then Sunday we'd get asked to volunteer for church, which is great. I mean, you should volunteer, but, you know, I would talk to him about it again, and he'd say, sure, we can do that. So then, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday of that week, he would look at the forecast, and he'd be like, this is such a great weekend. We should be outside. And he's like, what do you think? And I'd say, well, we have this on Friday, and we have this on Saturday, and we're helping at church on Sunday. And he would get frustrated. And then, of course, I would get frustrated because I felt like, you know, we talked about all this. So our family's solution back then was to get a great big family calendar that goes on the refrigerator. Everybody can see it. And we started trying to be a lot more intentional if there was something that we wanted to do as a family of, you know, putting it on the calendar and making sure that everyone could see it. So one of the little unexpected side benefits, our youngest son Noah was five when we did this, and he was just learning how to read. And at school, they had calendar time, but we didn't know how much he liked calendar time. So suddenly, this big calendar appears in Noah's life, and we began to find him perched on a stool studying the calendar. Like, he would sit there, you know, for 10 or 15 minutes, and he would turn pages ahead and, you know, just to kind of see what was coming up. And the older kids kind of thought this was funny, and they started to quiz him, and they'd say, I bet Noah knows when Christmas is. And so they would ask him, you know, Noah, what day is Christmas on? And he would know. So that was just kind of a little side benefit that we had a child who was just waiting to organize his life. So that was fun. So in being intentional, you know, make plans and be specific about what you want to do as a family. Put it on a calendar, whatever it is. More technology is fine, but just put it somewhere where everybody can see it. And then do your best to protect those plans, because life is going to happen. People get sick. Things come up. But if you're being intentional, you know, these things are going to be able to happen as you, you know, as you try to be intentional and plan stuff ahead. So then the next one is to be available. And some of this might be a little obvious. In being available for family, for extended family and friends. But we've just found as our kids get older, we want to nurture those relationships with long-term friends and with extended family, even people who live in the area. But life can get so busy that we realize, you know, several weeks have gone by before we, you know, have spent time with people we really want to have these relationships with. So we've wanted to be available in that. And as far as hiking and backpacking, some of our favorite memories have been doing that together with friends or with extended family. And then also being available in serving together as a family. And after I had this on my outline, I found out that Barb Caldwell had come to speak to you all. So I won't say much about this, but the Caldwell family was a good example to our family. They still had teenagers at home back when we had preschoolers. And they did such a good job of modeling serving together as a family. This church used to do a food ministry once a month. And their kids would be involved in greeting people from the community, from all walks of life, and making people feel welcome. And I just remember noticing how their family modeled that so well. And our kids were like 2 and 5 back then, but they were still big enough that if they helped somebody else, they could kind of pass out food and greet people. And so I would just encourage you, as you're planning togetherness, to look for those opportunities that you can serve together as a family and let your kids see you serving. And I'm sure Barb has talked about some of that. So be available. And then be real. This has been something, this has been a value that we've had for a long time. The idea of experiences and real skills over fantasy and just collecting stuff. And that's been something we've wanted to be intentional about. Josh teaches in Springdale, and he just started a wall in his classroom called Do Real Things. And he's invited his students, and he's actually collected pictures, too, of students, you know, growing their own garden or raising a goat or fixing a car or doing something, you know, well with sports, and just encouraging that idea of learning some real skills and having real life experiences. One of my favorite stories in our family is one of our daughters learned how to crochet from my sister-in-law, Christina, when she was about 7. And I am not very crafty. I'm not really able to sew very well or, you know, do a lot of those things. And so that was really neat for her to learn how to do that. And then just a few weeks after she got pretty proficient, we found out that she taught her third grade teacher how to crochet. So that was kind of a neat moment of her, you know, learning this real skill and then being able to pass it on. So, you know, be thinking about skills that you would like for your kids to have, and either learning from you or learning from somebody else in your life that can be passed on to your kids. Backpacking and camping have been great opportunities for that. With backpacking, our kids have learned map reading and trail finding, because not all trails are marked with blazes. Also with backpacking, our older kids have started to do the cooking and the water filtering for the younger kids. And in the last couple of years, we've gotten them involved in helping to plan some of the trips and even plan the food. And whenever we let them plan the food, we have found that Nutella and Skittles start showing up in the lunch a lot. But we figure, hey, you know, we don't do this all the time, but, you know, it makes it fun for the kids to, you know, to be involved. And, you know, our hope is that when they are adults, if they choose to camp or backpack, they're going to know what to do and hopefully to be safe on the trail. So just look for ideas that you can be real and create real experiences. And then, so being together, thinking about what the obstacles might be to family togetherness. And when I was preparing, I decided not to make a list because I feel like any work schedule or family activity or hobby or interest can be done well as a family. But I would just encourage you, just knowing as our kids have gotten older, we have learned to be wary of long-term activities that are going to send our family in 5 different directions. Because there are going to be so many great opportunities for your kids and for you at school or in the community. But I would just encourage you to, you know, to just look for ways that you can protect togetherness. If your kids have a specialty, like if they dance or if they play a sport, we've tried to really make it possible for the other kids to be there to cheer them on and to, you know, to get to see their events, you know, where we're not missing activities because we're all doing different things. So I would just really encourage that. So seek out hobbies and interests that you can do together. And then I guess lastly, just know that you can say no to some good things if they begin to get in the way of togetherness as a family. Because we've just found as our kids have gotten older, you know, the community, the school, even church is just going to present a lot of great opportunities. And we do take advantage of a lot of them. But we've just decided to be very intentional about setting aside time that we can just be together. So that's pretty much what I have to say today. I hope this will be enough time for you all to discuss in your groups some ideas. What is your family's thing, or what would you like for your family's thing to be? What do you see as obstacles to togetherness? And what kinds of things have worked for your family in helping to promote this idea of togetherness? And if you have specific questions on hiking or backpacking, I'd be glad to answer questions later. But I just hope this is good brainstorming for you all to think about this in your groups. So thank you.